Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTeo along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, former basketball coach and now college basketball analyst Coach Scott Spinelli is on the line with us. Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Always a pleasure, guys. I love being on the show.
Man, we love to have you, Coach. Scott, go back this a couple weeks, and I asked you, name me a team that might make a run at this, a dark horse team, and you said Miami or Florida. I remember it distinctly. You talked about the Hurricanes and how they could match up, and sure enough, I don't think too many people would have guessed Florida Atlantic or San Diego State. Now, maybe UConn, but Miami or Florida was the one team that came out of your mouth real quickly.
Well, you know what, guys, look, I think what you guys, and you've seen this, and you guys know this in terms of basketball, when you get into a tournament like the NCAA, when you have great guards like they do, and they've got a whole plethora of them, it makes for them to have a chance to win every game. Because as much as, you know, you want to have those big athletic guys in the interior, again, you know, 3 points are more than two last I look. So when you're shooting and making threes, or if the matchups are such that you can drive by those bigger guys and create an easy shot for a teammate, whether it is a two or a three, I think obviously Miami has that type of depth and talent in the backcourt, and that's what makes them so dangerous.
Coach, Florida Atlantic, what a ride for them, right? Man, to get to the Final Four, to see this team and how they've been able to get through everything and to get to that Final Four spot. Man, for an old coach, that's got to really make you feel good to see that adventure for Florida Atlantic.
As a coach, as a dad, I mean, you know, with two Division I sons playing basketball, it does make me feel good. And it should make every field is a late developer, whether they're a top 100 kid. I mean, look, every student athlete has his or her own path in terms of their development. And I think what makes it so much fun is you're seeing a team like Florida Atlantic that doesn't have the so-called McDonald's All-American or top 100 guys, but what they do have that no statistic in sports can measure, and that is their determination, their effort, their perseverance. I mean, for a team like that to out-rebound Kansas State by 20, and then out-rebound Tennessee by 4, which, again, Tennessee, bigger, stronger, more physical at every position, just shows that there is room in sports at all levels for those student athletes or those players that want to give that extra effort.
Coach, I got a couple stats here for you that I'm sure you already know, but this is the first Final Four ever without a 1, 2, or 3 seed, and then if you add up all the Final Four seedings, you get the second highest all-time, only behind 2011's Final Four. Is this the strangest bracket that you can remember?
It really is. I think coming into the tournament, guys, we talked about this, I had never seen an NCAA tournament with this many storylines behind the one seeds, right? There was, God, every one seed you could have kind of made a case for as it relates to why or why they might not make it, you know, all the way. And then I think, again, you could look at the two seeds and kind of almost, you know, make a case there. So I just don't think there was that dominant team. And we saw that all year, right, in the rankings and who was there in terms of top team or top five. But I do think there's a big, big change right now that's starting to occur in college basketball. And I wouldn't even be surprised to see it in football, but for certain basketball, and that is every coach wants a team that gets old. They want experience. They want older guys. And I think with this transfer portal, with that extra year in COVID, you know, we're going to continue to see teams go into that portal and try to get older and older and older as best they can. Look, Miami has it figured out, guys. I mean, most of us out here trying to figure out this NIL stuff. They've got a $2.2 million NIL deal combined for all their guys. And so they figured out how to utilize it. I don't know if anybody else has, but you know, tip your hat to them too. And I think we're going to start seeing more of that also.
Coach, you talked a little bit about Miami's guard play, but I want to get your thoughts on Jim Larrañaga, who I think is one of the more underrated coaches in college basketball today. He got that team to the Elite Eight last year, and then this season he makes that next step to the Final Four. I just want to get your thoughts on him.
Well, you know, I've had the pleasure as assistant coach back even at Wichita State, coaching against him as an assistant, and then obviously through the ACC from my days at Maryland when Maryland was there, as well as Boston College. And even as a head coach, interim head coach, I had a chance to coach against them down at Miami. But the one thing that always kind of is very, to me, stands out about Coach Larrañaga and his teams is the fact that he allows those guys to play what I would call like structured freedom, whereas his kids are out there playing to their strengths. They're the best version of themselves as it relates to playing the game with a lot of confidence, a lot of freedom, you would say. Yes, there's accountability, but I don't see a lot of negative reinforcement. I see a lot of encouragement. I see these kids out there playing loose, having fun. And again, you know, if you're a player, you guys played in any sport, if you're playing for a coach that truly believes in you and allows you to play your game, you know, nobody's perfect out there. And I think he allows some of his guys to play through those mistakes. And to me, that's kind of the recipe and the formula for why he's so successful. And I think that is probably a great recipe for most coaches to follow.
To watch Connecticut, I think of all the teams, that's not the biggest surprise to see them get to the Final Four. A really well-rounded basketball team, got some experience, play great defense, can shoot it up. But, you know, I had a friend of mine ask me this. How could they get through it when you've seen some of the other teams with about as much experience, maybe even more talent, not get there? So how Connecticut was able to get through this sort of maze to get to the Final Four, this year really sticks out more than any other year. And Coach, I don't know if you'd agree with this, but I do think because of name, image, likeness, and because of the transfer portal, we're going to see more and more sort of Final Fours similar to what we've got this year.
I agree with you. I'm totally on board with that. I think, you know, there's a big difference. And again, I think you're looking at a couple different things here, to your point, and that is this. You know, when you're in college as a coach, I guess there's two ways to try to put together your team. One is through the old-fashioned way of balance through recruiting classes, identifying, evaluating players, and bringing the kids on and developing them. And then there's this new wave of free agency where you can actually go out, select who you'd like, the best players who are in the portal, bring them in, so-called on a one-year deal, maybe a two-year deal, whatever it may be. You can incorporate the NIL in terms of, you know, these kids coming there and being in a position where they can be use their name, image, likeness for compensation, et cetera. So I think we're going to see, you know, different ways of for these colleges to be building their programs. Look, and you guys know this too. You can sprinkle in transfers. To me, what makes this college experience special is to have these kids, you know, coming up under your regime and, you know, developing them. And then you have to have those relationships. They're going to be key now for coaches to have to build these relationships with these kids, not only as their student athletes or their athletes, but as people in their support groups. Otherwise, they can just opt out at any time.
Coach, staying with UConn here, I wanted to get your thoughts. I mean, the past 2 years under Dan Hurley, they've been upset in the first round, and now they're in the Final Four. So that's a pretty big jump. But UConn is a program. They've won four national championships under two different head coaches with Jim Calhoun and Kevin Ollie. And now they're looking for their fifth under a third different head coach with Dan Hurley. When a lot of people talk about the blue bloods of college basketball, it's always the Kentuckys, the Kansas, the Dukes, the North Carolinas. How close is UConn to becoming that blue blood and joining that conversation?
Coach, it's a dark color. I don't know if it's blue, but it's in that range, right?
Five championships with three different head coaches is pretty impressive.
It is. I mean, they've got, you know, it just speaks to what University of Connecticut has there in terms of their infrastructure too, right? They've got all of the ingredients in terms of the support that the kids need, the facilities. You know, when you're talking about the best nutrition, strength coaches, et cetera, you know, obviously they've got everything that they actually need there, to your point, to win it all. But look, I mean, when you think about Coach Calhoun and what he did at UConn, I remember playing against him when I was at Boston University. When he had first gotten the job, he left Northeast and then went to UConn, and we would beat them when I was at BU. He was at UConn. And then, you know, he built this thing into a monstrosity of a program. And so I do think, again, UConn you could look at and say, you know, they are one of the elite programs in college basketball. But now it's going to be about sustaining that, and they're going to lose. Brandon Hawkins obviously is going to the draft. Sanogo, I don't know, you know, where he's at, but for certain he'll probably test the waters. You're looking at a kid like Clinigan who doesn't play that much, the seven-footer who's got what it takes. So depending upon what they lose to and how they're able to sustain that, I guess, is going to be the big question. But to your point, they are certainly equipped, UConn, and they have everything in place to win national titles.
Another great story, Coach, that I kind of recognized was when COVID canceled the 2020 NCAA tournament, San Diego State was a 30-2 team. They had one of the best defenses in college basketball that season, and they weren't able to prove it on the floor and make a run to the potential Final Four appearance for the first time. And now, a couple of years later, 2023, they make that run, and now they're in the Final Four. I just wanted you to talk about San Diego State and kind of getting that second chance a couple of years later and then making that push that they've made this season.
You know, and you got to be happy, right, for the kids, for the coaches, for the program, I mean, for the university, the alumni, the student body, et cetera, you know, to have an opportunity like this. And, you know, look, it was heartbreaking that year of COVID when they did cancel the tournament. And, you know, you can look at it a couple different ways, right? I mean, we lost a whole generation, guys, of student-athletes that missed out on opportunities. Man, it's heartbreaking to see. Because they didn't get an extra year in high school. They didn't get an extra year in JUCO. It was just those college kids. On the flip side, you know, a team like San Diego State who had probably positioned themselves that year, and those kids, again, they dream of this opportunity. I mean, this is, you know, their whole life they've been sacrificing. Their parents have been driving them here, there, the workouts, the blood, sweat, tears that they put in to reach their goals. And then they got it, you know, hey, we're canceling the tournament. So to see a somewhat, you know, of an opportunity like this that they earned, you know, come back around, it is obviously gratifying for everyone.
Coach, from a women's standpoint, to see what Kim Mulkey has done at LSU, just remarkable. And we have her on almost every week, and she talks about division and the back. We ain't done anything yet. We haven't won anything, okay? And she's sort of setting this up for her run. And, man, she has lined up a host of top recruits for next year. But in year two of a program, to make this sort of jump to get them to the Final Four, and you understand how you had to get there, and yesterday maybe wasn't a great game to watch if you like scoring. It was a lot of missed short shots, layups, that sort of thing. It was more of a defensive game. But it's like almost like watching a 13-3 football game. For some people, they don't like it. Man, I want to see them score all the time. But for a coach, okay, you won by double digits, but you didn't shoot extremely well. You got something here that you can really get on them. Yeah, you got to the Final Four, but let me tell you how you got to improve. As a coach, you know you got a little bit of basketball meat on the bone to get on them about. But the run for Kim Mulkey here at LSU in year two has just been remarkable.
You know, I remember her when she was coaching at Baylor. I was coaching at Texas A&M back in those days. And, you know, look, you know, Waco is not that far from College Station, so you kind of follow both the men and the women. But what's impressed me most about watching her coach and her teams is they take on her personality. I mean, the passion, fire. You know, and I think, again, you know, you talk about this in sports. Every team eventually takes on the personality of the head coach. And certainly this LSU team that she's coaching or this program has taken on her fiery personality and her passion. And it's really fun to watch. She's a one heck of a coach. And to your point, I mean, they're just finding ways to win right now. They didn't shoot, like you said, well. I followed them a little bit in the tournament. But, you know, that's a great sign moving into the Final Four, because if things start clicking for them, who knows what could happen.
And then, Coach, I got to ask you, we've previewed all the teams. I want to get your picks for the two Final Four games, San Diego State, FAU, and then Miami, UConn.
You know, guys, I tell you what, you're not going to believe my picks, so I'm going to tell it to you. I really believe, again, I'm going to stick with that that emotional determination, that passionate perseverance, and that analytic that just can't be judged by any metric. And I'm going to stick with Florida Atlantic. I just think they're going to beat San Diego State in a very, very good game. And I just think it's going to be done through their determination and passion and their energy. And I think in the other game, look, just to be honest, guys, I got to tell you, until somebody – I thought Houston had the best team, and Miami just ran right past them. I mean, as good as UConn is, and they've got everything, what I'm anxious to see is UConn. They've had an easy ride. This is not going to be an easy game. They're not beating Miami. At least they're not going to coast to a 15-point victory in this game, not with those guards. So when they get tested – and it gets really, you know, stressful on that stage, you know, what's going to happen with Connecticut. So I'm going to take an all-Florida national title game, you know, with the national championship, you know, going to Miami. That's what I'm picking.
Coach, when you think about it, a 73-year-old coach at Miami of Florida, and people always ask about relationships. I have coaches in my family, and they will always ask about relating, and, you know, some of them are, man, you know, it's difficult today to relate sometimes to that teen or that early 20-year-old and to motivate them. But, man, to see a 73-year-old coach do it, That's really an accomplishment, because
I love the videos of him. Did you see the videos of him dancing in the locker room, Mike? It's one of my favorite things.
And so it goes to show you, okay, some people can adapt and change and others can't. Coach Day stuck back in 1950 or 1960. They cannot adjust to today's game, but he's been able to do it.
He has. I agree with you guys. And you know what? Age is just a number. Look, I think when you're having that much fun, and you're his age and you're able to go out there and, you know, really, you know, enjoy this. I mean, because this is what this look, for what it's worth, guys, and we all probably could attest to this, you know, probably our favorite days, at least most of our favorite memories, have been when we're in college. And I think Coach Larrañaga captures that with his players. I think they just are having the time of their life out there. And in fact, because of his leadership and how he presents himself and how he approaches it, to your point, I mean, the dancing at 73, God bless him. but this goes to show you, you know, age really is just a number.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We always appreciate it. Great insights, as always. And hope to have you on next Monday, and we'll be down to the final two.
Thanks for having me, guys. Okay, great to be on the show.
Thanks so much. Always super. Former college basketball coach and now college basketball analyst Scott Spinelli. Always terrific with us, and he'll be on next Monday to preview the championship game for the title, so to speak. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.